The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Exec Chairman Patrick D'Souza of Water Intelligence and CEO Will Nell of American Leak Detection, a one-stop shop for all things water leak detection, repair, and preventative maintenance. So big welcome, guys.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, we're very excited about 2026.
Yeah,
so hopefully, you know, through this conversation, Will and I can, you know, convey that in an elegant fashion.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's certainly a turbulent time at the moment, and maybe sort of like we'll just go through the sort of the trading today's trading update, the positive trading update, with sales increasing 9% to $90.4 million. So maybe we can start there, Patrick. If you just take us through what's been driving the growth, alongside sort of a few thoughts on sort of Q4 trading, Q1 trading this year, and then sort of a bit of an outlook onto 2026.
Sure, no problem. And again, I think the way to frame the discussion today is, first of all, our numbers are good. Great, good foundation. But really, you know, one of the core elements here is how is that foundation sustainable over the course of 26, 27, 28? We've made a significant amount of investments to position ourselves as the market leader. That framework begins to really put a context on the numbers. So if we're growing while we're making investments to become the market leader, that's a pretty good set of parallel processing. So if you didn't mind, Paul, let me frame the overall status of where we are, why 26 is so important, why we have tailwinds. And like you're saying, you know, these are turbulent times. Why do we brush that off as we're resilient? That's background noise to us. So let me just start there and then dive into the numbers. Does that work?
Yeah, that sounds great, yeah.
Okay, so to begin with, we have three tailwinds that are really foundational in addition to the numbers. Because if you really look at, you know, 26, 27, 28, what is it about these tailwinds that only allow us to accelerate our growth trajectory, given the foundational elements? So tailwind number one is the Internet of Things is here. AI is here. Why are we best positioned more than any other company to harvest that reality of the Internet of Things? So that's number one, and I'll go through really the headlines, but first just a little bit about what do people mean with the Internet of Things? What they mean by that is digital devices that are interconnected, whether for the smart home, smart buildings, smart cities, emitting data. The data is captured, stored securely, but then not just stored securely, analyzed. AI can then work on, you know, the piles of data to organize them analytically to provide actionable results. Well, okay, we have that. And we'll begin to outline how we have all of that. But in addition, you have to have a workforce that is capable of digesting the data and then creating actions out of it. So from that standpoint, we are a unique combination of a technology company and a services business that can take data from the very point of emitting it from the monitors all the way over to aftercare with the customers. So if you really look at it, AI by itself is a good buzzword. What it really does is it analyzes pools of data very efficiently. For us, because of the direction we've taken, we not only can create and store the pools of data, but we can make it actionable. So from that standpoint, great tailwind for us, we'll be the market leaders. Second piece that I think is also worthwhile that aligns with this notion of the Internet of Things. People looking for proactive solutions. They don't want reactive situations where, you know, you have the leak, then I got to find somebody. The leak may be growing. I have a flood. Rather, what they want to know is their water is being monitored. There is a company that stands behind them as a trusted advisor to help them minimize the damage and get at things as a first responder, much like alarm companies. We have that. So if you really look at the combination of those two tailwinds, first, Internet of Things is here along with AI, but then separately, we've actually navigated our business as a competitive strategy towards preventive maintenance and being proactive. Those two things are coupled nicely in terms of both market leadership and barriers to entry. Because in order to overcome us, you've had to make all those investments that our shareholders, have really supported us with over the last decade. So two good tailwinds for us. The third one is really resiliency. So everybody in the marketplace knows, there's a crisis in Iran. Gas price may be up. Debt markets are a little volatile. In a way, I don't want to take this cavalierly, but our business is resilient. And it's a really good defensive strategy combined with growth. So people need their water leaks fixed. We've made investments to become more efficient. We have a great balance sheet. So a lot of the issues that market turbulence is surrounding right now is really more background noise to us and allows Will to execute a plan very efficiently. So those are three tailwinds that really distinguish us more than anybody else. And to reiterate, just really even starting from the Internet of Things, it is useful for our viewers to also remember what is our asset base that allows us to execute this type of plan. Well, first, we have a critical mass of corporate locations. We've done that by reacquiring franchises so that we're able to execute a plan in a much more centralized fashion and be able to support our franchisees along the way. Second, our franchise system is still growing. It has embraced what Will's leadership is all about. And really, we have spent a bunch of time helping train our franchisees in digital devices. So we have a workforce that is well trained, both at the corporate level and the franchise level. We also, if you really notice, for the last 2 years, created, a base of technology for wireless monitoring. So last year, if you remember, we set up a strategic partnership with Streamlabs. This year, we've already announced we set up another partnership with a company called Bluebot. In both cases, we're bringing best of class technology in terms of wireless monitoring along a whole bunch of dimensions that we've tested. So for us, we really feel good at the front end. We're able to white label devices that allow us to then create the data, store the data, analyze data, let our workforce that's used to exploiting the data take over. Finally, just to two other aspects. One is beyond that, we've already set up a national channel structure with insurance companies, property management. So we gain a lot of leverage, not only at the household level, where we go to over 200,000 households a year, but also at the channel level, where we're able to gather jobs, provide analytic reports, leverage the data that AI allows us to analyze. So from that standpoint, we're able to always engage with the customer, be it consumer, business to business, however you want to look at it, and then really provide aftercare solutions. So really our engagement in a proactive way with the market sets us apart and leverages the two tailwinds of Internet of Things and preventive maintenance. So with that, context, what do we see, right? Because it's a matter of resilience. So we invest, we've created a platform, but really, what are our foundational numbers? So no excuses, as you're saying, Paul, revenue growth last year increased 9% to 90.4 million. EBITDA adjusted also grew. It grew 15% to 16.5 million. Not only that, but under Will's leadership, some of the operational changes made, margin improved from 17% EBITDA adjusted margin in 24 to 18% last year. We look forward to more of those things. And even while we're doing that, our balance sheet is still strong. We have a modest net debt to EBITDA ratio. Fantastic. We have dry powder to put to work. And to put to work, the reason why we're excited about 2026, we have a pipeline of opportunities, both organic and accretive acquisitions. If you notice in our release, the international business grew 44%. Really good. Obviously, it's a lot smaller component of the core business that Will is leading us on. But nonetheless, we're looking forward to some exciting developments. A couple of years ago, we acquired a company in Ireland. That company is doing really well and really has some big contracts across Ireland that we're looking forward to for this year. If you look at Australia, we've bought back some of our franchisees, and those numbers are starting to roll out much stronger. So if you look at it, it's not just in the US, but also internationally. And if you look at the common sense theme, people need to stop water leaks as a global matter. So our addressable market is large. We have a scalable platform, and we have the dry powder around which to execute a growth plan. So if you don't mind, Paul, let me turn it over to Will, because this notion of tailwinds and resiliency really don't mean anything unless you have a leader that can actually execute a growth plan. So without further ado, let me just turn it over to Will and let him take us through the nuts and bolts of our growth plan. Would that work?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, please do. I mean, obviously, all the sort of weight of the responsibilities now on your shoulders, Will. So
Yeah.
you've got to do all the heavy lifting going forward. What's the plan, and how are we doing?
No, I mean, thank you, Paul. No, Patrick, you're exactly right. We do have some, tumultuous times right now, but American Lake Section isn't foreign to that. We've been around for 50 years. We've seen markets go through everything under the sun, and we've prevailed. So, like Pat said, I mean, that does kind of a background noise to a certain extent. Obviously, we're always aware, but we stay focused, and we know we're going to come through on top. No, no concerns whatsoever. I mean, 2025 really was a year setting me me setting the organization up for strong growth in 26 and every year that comes. That was reflected by those adjusted EBITDA margins increasing, because a lot of the focus that I spent last year was really evaluating the business and incorporating efficiencies, really managing those costs, even down to every single corporate store level, and that allowed us for that margin growth. But important component of that was I did not scale back on, our revenue generating infrastructure. We didn't lay off any personnel. We didn't, cut back on technicians or CSR support staff at the local level. It was all based on efficiencies that were incorporated in a lot of the support functions and just how we do business every day. But that allowed us to now start to work on our 2026 growth strategy, which expands upon all the things that Pat was just referring to. That growth strategy, as we bring in that revenue growth, which I'll kind of go through with you, it's going to be supported by a cost structure that reinforces healthy margins. And that was so important to me in the onset, was to really evaluate how we deal with that revenue and deal with it in a responsible way. So, when I look at our execution for growth in 2026 and beyond, obviously, when we look at the top line growth, a lot of it is supporting some of those revenue streams that we've always relied upon. We have our insurance channel where we have those negotiated contracts with all the top carriers in the US, and we've continued to support those contracts, but we've made those contracts even more lucrative for our clients by doing some simple things where we've improved the efficiencies in how we communicate with the carriers. We did an integration with a software platform that all but three of the carriers we work with, that's how they administer claims and that's how they manage claims. Well, now it's integrated with our Salesforce platform. It just makes it a much more seamless process and makes us easier to work with. So it's just reinforcing all of those claims that they're already bringing to us, and making, giving us a competitive advantage, and reinforcing what they already appreciate, which is working with us as we handle those claims. Even extending that, obviously, we've talked a lot about the preventative maintenance strategy. All these carriers are looking for a better way to be able to mitigate that water loss. We've discussed many times that water event claims are the most expensive claims outside of natural disasters that the insurance industry deals with every single day. And they look to us to be a resource, not only to help them deal with the claims when they happen, we've always done that, but now they want us to help them prevent the catastrophic loss in the first place. And like Patrick said, we are working with who we've identified to be some of the top providers of that water management water monitoring solutions based on the technology they use. Ultrasonic technology, which aligns with our proprietary technology that we have incorporated 50 years ago and built upon that, using ultrasonics to identify where leaks exist, but you can also use ultrasonics to identify water flow. And we've determined that that is the most accurate, most successful technology on the market today. One of the other channels that we've really seen the most growth with over the last couple of years is going to be the commercial side when it comes to property management. So we've created a whole new channel that focuses strictly on property management, and we're seeing exponential opportunities there as well, especially when you're looking at multifamily or large-scale facilities that have properties all over the country, and they want one company that they can rely on nationwide, which is one of American Leak Detection's, biggest attributes, is having our footprint nationally, where we have the boots on the ground to be able to take care of this work at any of their facilities across the entire country. So we're working with existing clients, bringing in new clients, where we can help partner with them to manage their water better. It's not just about preventing catastrophic loss for them, albeit that is very important, especially when you're talking about multifamily, high-rise condominiums, that sort of thing. You have a water event claim in one unit, it ends up damaging dozens of units below. It can be very costly and very catastrophic. But they also have a big budget when it comes to water use. And if a percentage of that is wastage, they need a partner to help them monitor or manage that water usage better. And we're providing those solutions for them. We're running through some pilot programs right now with, different clients that want to kind of test this technology and see how it can apply to help them manage that water better and really incorporate cost savings for them, but also reduce their risk of catastrophic loss.
Just
Then,
in,
sorry, go ahead, Paul.
yeah, just in terms of sort of like the coverage of rolling out the Dallas model, and also of the training for the technicians to be able to implement these, the new Streamlabs wireless monitoring. Is that now all completed, or is there still bits and pieces to do?
So absolutely. I mean, obviously there's a lot of layers to that Dallas template. We have incorporated that kind of model at all of our corporate stores, and even taken it a step further with the scorecard approach, where those stores are required to basically report on 15 measurables that determines the health of that particular location. And as a management team, it allows us to identify quickly, almost daily, through different dashboards that we've set up in our Salesforce platform, that indicate, whether or not that store is operating successfully, maybe needs some assistance. And if it does need assistance, based on those measurables that they're reporting on, we know very quickly where that assistance is needed. And it also allows me, because I know when I'm looking at those different scorecards, what are the triggers that either supports a healthy measurable, or what are the things that might be affecting a measurable, making it not perform as expected? And then can communicate that to the management team, and they can get in there and make some corrections very quickly. It's a much it's ironic, and I tell this to our team all the time. We're taking the same kind of proactive approach with how we operate our business and the value that we're driving to our clients. It's all about proactivity and preventative maintenance, right? And it's not just the service we're selling, it's even how we're operating our business every day. We're even incorporating vendors who have a more preventative maintenance kind of mindset in our home and fleet management system, which looks to prevent issues with your vehicles before you have to be reactive and take them out of service, and your truck is down 2 or 3 days, which can cost us thousands of dollars in lost revenue. And so this is a whole mindset shift within the entire organization to become more proactively minded versus reactive, right?
And then just in terms of sort of trading, for how do you see that sort of total, sort of you've got the assets, you've got the momentum going, you've got potential property deals and contracts that you may sign through that channel with the big high rises you talked about. How do you see that sort of flowing through over the next 12 months, given we're obviously now in the third month?
I think I see it resulting in exponential revenue growth. just simply due to the fact that the demand is so high. And as we're, running through some of these pilot strategies with some of these clients, as we're able to prove that ROI, which is already happening in some of the initial pilot things that we have rolled out, it's only going to kind of create the momentum that's going to support that, really high revenue growth, organic, and it's really truly organic growth because we're building off of what we already have in place. And then, like I was saying before, supported by that healthy margin cost structure.
Will, can I just maybe add something to that? First of all, a point you made earlier that in all the things you did last year, you didn't really cut any heads. What we're doing is making things more efficient so that on that base of trained personnel, we can then, as Paul is alluding to, ramp up. So that I think is an important thing to remember. And then separately, Paul, just to calibrate, what Will and team are doing, the first thing we should see in the quarters ahead are some wins with this monitoring equipment, right? And then wins, really just kind of begin to build on themselves because you're taking a sales pipeline and applying it to the same type of customers. So, just to support Will saying in terms of exponential growth, the question is first, will it be building with wins and from that base and a workforce that is ready to scale, it'll begin to start building on itself. And again, what I would look to do is, as we approach the second quarter, beginning of the third, begin to report back on those metrics that here's some new wins, here's some new wins on the monitoring side, here's how it's flown through on the operating side. And I think that's a good way to calibrate everybody's expectations as we roll forward.
Yeah, well, that's that's great news, and certainly, in fact, you heard that here first, ladies and gentlemen. So we're looking forward to some strong growth. Just in terms of just closing remarks there, Pat. The business culturally and sort of like the just the health of the business and your confidence in the group, etc.
Well, we're very confident. So first of all, as you see with Will's leadership, it starts from a position of really understanding our business, understanding what are the levers to turn, and then being able to translate that in terms of everyone beginning to embrace that proactive notion from the top through the middle all the way to the bottom. That's a good firm culture in terms of how we aggressively want to attack the market. And then I would say really, between Will and myself, we do want a high performance culture. So to our viewers, that really is what you'll begin to see in the next couple of quarters because we will be making changes in personnel only to improve personnel. We don't want to sit still. Now that we have a platform, a bunch of investments around which we want to gain more ROI and tailwinds, what we want to do is make sure that everybody is embracing this opportunity. And that as we report back in the quarters ahead, everybody sees it. Firm culture, embracing the opportunity ahead.
Brilliant. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about how the business is developing, probably for the prelims or the final results sometime in the next couple of months or so. So thanks again, Patrick, and thanks again, Will, and speak to you soon.
Much appreciated.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.